But with all of that said, we actually continue on with our series of beholding. If you were here with us over the last few weeks, or maybe you were here over Christmas Eve, we learned a little bit what that word behold means. This is to look, to pay attention, to grasp our attention and our focus. And after Christmas and after the hustle and bustle, sometimes it's hard to look. Sometimes it's hard to get our focus back. But today, hopefully, that's what we're going to do. But I want to ask you another question. How many in this place like Boxing Day shopping? Not my people. I like Boxing Day shopping. I like the hustle and the bustle and the crowds. Even this year when we were thinking, you know, should we not go? I like getting out and around all the different people, kind of looking for deals, even if I'm not going to buy something. I like rubbing shoulders, being in the mall, hearing the stories, hearing all that's going on. And so in those moments, you're up there, and I remember when Jen and I first got married, we didn't have a lot of money, so when we were talking to one another, we're like, you know what? I know it's not going to sound really romantic, but we said, how about we buy our Christmas presents for each other on Boxing Day when it's cheaper? And we looked, and we both said, that makes sense. We were hoping to get, before they were normally flat screens, we were hoping for this small little flat screen TV for our first little home. It was probably going to be the only thing new in the whole place. And we went out for Boxing Day shopping, and Jen is the total opposite of me. She's like, I don't want to see a crowd. I don't want to be around a crowd. And I'm like, sweetie, don't worry. We're going to get up so early in the morning. We will be in line. We're going to go check out Future Shop when Future Shop was in Sudbury. And one of those moments, we're going to get there before it even opens, and we're going to be in that moment. You're in this line. You're hustling and bustling, and you're watching all these things. But then I noticed there was this sign. It didn't affect us, but it affected a whole bunch of other people. And it's a sign that I want us to think about this morning. And the sign in amongst all of the busyness of the day usually says, no returns or exchanges. They're like, on this busy day, don't try to bring back the clothes that used to fit before all the turkey. Don't try to bring back the toy that you hope that you didn't get. Don't try that today. How many have ever tried to still sneak that in? Because in our lives, we have this tendency to want to return and exchange even something that we think is really good for us. Even if it was a shirt that you've been wanting for, but you realize it's two sizes too small, we want to get there first. We want to be the first in line to exchange it for something better. But that sign, I believe, has something that can speak to us even of this time of year. Because we have a tendency that goes back all the way to the fall, which is we love to get in line to do returns and exchanges. So this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Talk a little bit about the truth of what we can learn from that sign that maybe some of you saw just a day ago or 2 days ago, which says, don't return the gifts. Don't exchange it. Don't get in line. We're not open for that kind of business today, because I believe the same way in our lives, we need to make sure that we don't return the gifts that we've received over this Christmas season. This morning, we're going to look at two portions of text from Scripture. The first one is this. It says from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, it talks about the kind of gift that we've received. And Paul says this to the church in Corinth. He says, thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. Thank God for this indescribable gift. He's talking about the fact that Jesus came, that Jesus lived, that Jesus died, that Jesus rose again. And he says, thank God for that. This whole season, this whole time of year where we've leaned in and we celebrated all these great things about what God has done. We talked all about Advent, the hope, the joy, the peace, the love that comes through Christ. Not only comes through Christ coming, but also comes through the hope that he is going to do it again and his rule will never end. We have all of these things, but today, are you still thankful? Are you still thankful a couple days after Christmas, or has the hustle and bustle and the chaos just crept back in? As many of us are getting ready to go back to work tomorrow or in the days to come, or some have already gone back, as I've seen some of you already at work. As I was out shopping around, I'm like, hey, how are you doing? Has the chaos snuck back in? Has the hopelessness started to sneak back in? Have we started to do the habit of returning the gifts that we've received and exchanging them for what we already once had? We continue on, and Paul writes to another church. In Galatians, he writes these words in chapter 4, verse 8 through 9. And he says, before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that do not even exist. So now that you know God, or should I say now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? This morning, I think this is a problem that if we're honest with ourselves, we've all been guilty of at one time or another. We've all been really good at playing the exchange game, buying something and leaving the tags on so you can wear it once or twice for a few days so you look real fancy at the party, but knowing that you can't afford the gift or you're not sure you want that gift, only to bring it back. Because as you're going to see, this exchange game is not just for today. This exchange game goes all the way back to the fall. So we're going to unpack a little bit of the problem, diagnose the problem. Then I believe we're going to have a solution, because this year, let it not be a year where we've exchanged what God has already done for us. God has done some great things in 2025. God has done some great things even in our church over the last week or two. We've seen breakthrough. We've seen people make decisions even on Christmas Eve to follow Jesus Christ. But how many know that sometimes when you leave here today, there's still going to be an ice storm. There's still going to be snowstorms. Somebody's still going to blow all that snow into your yard. And you have to choose, am I going to continue to thank God for the indescribable gift, or am I going to give it right back? So we have to unpack a little bit about the exchange game. Because the truth is our, from mankind, doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter your status or economic status, all of us have an exchange game that's on point. All of us are pretty good at it. I won't make you look at one another and ask this question, but are there some gifts you receive that you want to return? Are there some shirts or clothes that you got from a loved one and you're like, oh, I wish I didn't get that? That's going to the back of the closet. We've all had those moments, but we see this even apply when it comes to spiritual things. We see, think all the way back to the fall. We think Adam and Eve are in perfect relationship, walking with God, talking with God throughout the garden. They're on this journey. Things are perfect. Sin hasn't even entered into the situation. Everything is good, but there becomes this temptation. There becomes this noise of, if only I could have something better. If only I could have this. If only I could know all that God knows. If only I could be just like God. And the volume gets turned up a little bit more of saying, what if I return the gift that I've received? What if I return the gift of koinonia, or fellowship with God, perfect relationship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Spirit, walking in that garden? But what if there was something more? Have you ever given up something for something seemingly more? Chasing after just something a little bit better, or seemingly a little bit better? We have even statements now, says the grass seems greener on the other side. We live it. You get a new car and then someone else gets a new car and you're like, I wish I would have got that one. Because we battle with this temptation to return the gift, return the joy, return the peace, return that moment and that gratitude of that season, the thankfulness of the season for something better. And we see with Adam and Eve, even in that moment, this temptation came and it caused them to exchange love and life for a lie. They exchanged what would be life perfect, life eternal in that moment. There was no sin, but for a lie, they gave it all up. Do we do the same? But it wasn't just an Adam and Eve problem. Let's think about Jesus's life. Jesus was the perfect gift that Paul said in 2 Corinthians. Jesus came in the incarnation as a perfect gift, a gift given to us that we so didn't deserve, a gift that he would give of all the riches of heaven. He comes and he lives and he loves. He comes and gives his life as the perfect sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice for our lives. But on the way into Jerusalem, as we get, you know, closer to Easter season, we know that all of a sudden the crowd is doing what? They're saying, Messiah, Messiah, we're so glad the King is here. They're celebrating. And only a week later, as we see in Matthew 27:17-21, it says, give us Barabbas. Huh. The noise, the sound, the exchange game is on point. Giving away the gift that God had so freely given. Giving away the hope, the peace, the love that was in their midst, the one that the shepherds ran to say, behold, I can embrace love, I can embrace hope, I can embrace all of these truths within my grasp. 30 plus years later, they're saying, I don't want this gift anymore. Crucify him. Crucify him. But it doesn't even just stop there. Showing that this is a lifelong problem, this is an age-long problem, we get to what Paul is saying to the church, the Galatians. And he's saying, don't return the gift that you've received. You now know that Jesus came, that Jesus died, that Jesus rose. He's pulled you out of legalism. He's pulled you out of these rituals and the ways that you used to live. He's brought freedom and joy to your life, that no longer are you worried. Are you good enough? You realize that he's good enough. And he's saying, don't go back to the ways you used to be. But why would he say that? Because they struggle with the same problem that I think we do. That we can have moments where life change happens, but we're not totally internally changed. We keep falling back into our old ways and our own sinful habits. Where like on Christmas Eve, we've all of a sudden had this joy come in, and it's like, yes, I want to follow Jesus. And there's such joy in the season. There's such hope and peace in the season as you're around family. For some, you came to church for the very first time on Christmas Eve, and you're like, hey, I want to come back into this. I found such peace. That was a resounding thing that I heard on Christmas Eve. There was many who had never been through these doors in many years, many who had never actually come through a church service. For some, it was the first time they heard the good news of the gospel, and they said, I don't know what it was, but when I came in, I felt such peace. And my challenge to us, my challenge to them was this: don't return the gift. Don't choose to exchange that gift, the gift of righted priorities and realigned priorities. Don't give that up. Don't let the exchange game capture you so that you give away the gift that you received during this season. So we move on to the second truth, because I don't believe it was just a problem that we see in Genesis, or through the Gospels, or through the epistles, the letters. I believe that we still struggle with that same problem today. How many would agree at times? If not, was your whole holiday over the last few days filled with joy and happiness? Did you get upset? Was there chaos when somebody bumped you in the line as you were shopping? Did you want to show them the one-way ticket to heaven? When someone didn't hit the gas at the green light. Because the battle is we're always waging this war. We're waging this war inside above the old nature and the new nature, and walking into the act of sanctification, allowing the Holy Spirit to daily turn us more into Jesus Christ, more into the way that he lives and he loves, that we would be more like him in everything that we do. But it is an intentional choice. It's a practical choice. Of saying, I want to continue to walk this way. I'm not going to get in line of the exchange line and say I'm going to give it up. Or the second truth this morning, in your life today, you have to make the intentional choice to rip off the tags. And for some of you are like, I don't know what that means. Well, let's think about it for a second. We see it in movies all the time. Someone who can't afford the fancy dress to go to the ball. And so they go and they buy the dress, or they seemingly buy the dress, but they take the tag, and what do? They tuck it in. Someone else watched that video too. They tuck it in, and they tuck it in, and they're like, please don't spill anything on this. I want it to look all pretty, but if you get up close, you realize that that gift has the full intention of doing what? Getting returned. Many of us live the same way. We come to church on a Sunday, we come to church on Christmas Eve, and we're like, oh, this felt so good, and Jesus is so good, I really love him, and he changed my life today. But as soon as we walk out of these doors, we do what happened to the church and to the Galatians, and in those moments we say, I'm going back to my old ways. He brought peace. He brought hope. He realigned my priorities, but I continue to go back to the old ways. Proverbs remind us of that truth, that many times we're like a dog that does something and we return back to it. In these moments, we have to realize in our own lives that the gifts that God has given us are good gifts. All the gifts that you've received over this season, as James would say in James 1, verse 17, are good and perfect gifts that come from above, that come from the Father, and they're irrevocable gifts. They were not gifts that you were meant to exchange or to return. The gift of His grace, the gift of His love, the gift of His peace, the gift of His hope was never meant for us to give back. It was meant for us to grow in, to actually cultivate in our lives so it would change us, and through us, others would be changed and experience that truth. But the question is that how it's happening in your own life? Or maybe even over the last few days, just a couple days from Christmas, you started to return that gift. Maybe where there was peace, chaos came back in. Maybe where there was hope, fear, anxiety, and discouragement has sort of crept back in. Where there was His salvation, broken relationships, apathy, and disconnection have already came back. You're like, you know what? I don't really need to get involved. I don't really need to be in a church family. I can be a CEO Christian, Christmas, Easter only. I can go through all of those things, but when you came back, you're like, there was just something that felt right. There was just something that changed in me. There was this peace. There was just this hope. And it didn't make sense. It wasn't based on my happenings. It wasn't based on my circumstances. There was just something about being present in His presence that changed everything. But how many times do we give that up and realign our priorities once we go back to the hustle and bustle of everyday living? Back to Uber parenting? Back to working the three jobs or the two jobs. Back to the worries of what is it going to look like and how is it going to be. I want to tell you this year and in this season leading up to a new year, you don't have to give back that gift. His hope is true. His hope is eternal. His peace that passes all understanding is eternal. It's not found in our happenstance or circumstances. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ and the truth that He will return, that His kingdom will rule and will reign, that things that aren't as they should be or shall be will be. We have to choose today to believe the truths of Scripture instead of playing the exchange game. I love what Max Lucado said. He says this, "Christmas is not just about the birth of Christ. It is about the coming of Christ to our lives. When Christ comes into our lives, He brings with Him the gifts of hope, peace, joy, and love, all of which are freely given and never to be returned. He didn't come to this earth. He didn't give His life. He didn't raise from the dead, and He didn't come and meet you in your hurt, in your loss, in your sin, so that we would return the gift the first time things get hard. He isn't running away, He's running towards. We have to be reminded in this season that even in the toughest of situations, even when we're in the biggest of mess, even when we're in the depths of our sin, He is not running away from you, but He is running towards you with the greatest gift that we don't have to return, but instead we should receive and embrace. Or as the title of our series has been called, that we would behold. Look, the gift of this world, the gift of all of eternity has come. And He's coming, and we can behold and embrace it. And if you're like, I don't like Max Lucado, that's okay. We'll talk about Billy Graham. Maybe you should like him too. He says this, "The birth of Christ is the ultimate declaration of God's love for mankind. It's not a gift we can return or exchange, but one that we are called to receive and then live out." These gifts that we receive about Christmas and around Christmas were not meant to just be received and put on a shelf. They're called to live out in our everyday lives. His hope, His peace, His joy, His love. His godly principles and realigned priorities. They're not just meant for one day a year or one week in a year. They're meant to be lived out. We have freely received, so now we are freely to give and enact those in everything that we do. That when you go back to work and everybody is freaking out and the hustle and bustle is there, and it's real, we have to acknowledge that sometimes things are stressful, sometimes things are hard, sometimes life sucks. That's truth. But in the midst of it, we don't have to return the gift of His peace. We don't have to return the gift of His hope. Fear doesn't have to overwhelm us because He's not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us of love, of joy and power and a strong mind. We can walk in those truths. We can apply those truths that when we're walking through even a tough season, whether 2026 ends up being your best year or your worst year, you don't have to return these gifts because these gifts are irrevocable, as Romans 11:29 would say. They were not given to you so that they could be pulled away. They were given to you so that you could walk in the freedom and the joy and the hope of them. So don't give them back because He doesn't want them back. He's given them to you so that you could share with others. The question, though, has to become is, how are we doing with that? And are we going to plan that in this coming year, no matter the circumstances, no matter the happenstance, we're going to choose, say, nope, I'm going to be like that sign, no returns or exchanges. It doesn't matter what somebody else says and says, well, if you return it, you can get something better. If you return it, you're going to find so much joy in a bottle or in an addiction. You're going to find so much joy in an unhealthy relationship. You're going to find so much joy in a little bit more money. How many have ever raced that battle, trying to find all the things that only God can provide in all the things of this world? It shows that these problems are not new problems. Adam and Eve, Jesus and the crowds around, we see it again with the early church. These problems are still applied today. That's why His word is good. His word is new every morning. His word is something we have to dive into because it shows us how we're to live and how we're to love. So what are some things that we need to actually rip the tags off of and say, I'm losing the receipts. I'm losing all the gift receipts. Because that's the other way of doing it. You're like, oh, it's okay, I ripped the tag off, but I have the receipt. What are some things that we need to remember to not return this year? First one, the gift of joy. Don't let stress steal the joy found in Christ, in family, and the simpler things. Cherish it, value it, protect it. How many times throughout the rest of the year do you never make time for family or friends? But around the holidays, we're like, oh, it's just something special around the holidays. We invite people over. We slow down. We play a board game. We come to church. Don't trade that back. It wasn't meant for one day a year or one week a year. These are principles that we see applied in the early church in Acts. Break bread together. Spend time. If you see someone alone, pull them together and bring joy in that time. We were blessed as our family. It's a new season of Christmas for us, and we were blessed to bring some of our new family over to Christmas with us. So we had some family from the church over for Christmas dinner with us. It was great. It was a new fun tradition, but it shouldn't just be on Christmas Day. We want to actually spend those times with one another because in those seasons, don't return the gift of joy that He's brought to you. Cherish it, value it. Second one, the gift of refocused priorities. Live in the reconciled relationships, the bridges built, the generosity sparked, and the spiritual awakening. Don't disengage and revert to the old ways. Some of us in this place, okay, so let's look at it as simple as this. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, actually, this weekend. We were writing back and forth. And we were talking about how many actually cancel this service or just purely go online. No judgment, no anything. And one of the reasons are we all need a break, and it's one of the least attended services on the calendar of a year. Because they literally said most people have come out on a Sunday, and they've come out in the middle of a week for a Christmas Eve. They are not coming out another Sunday. So let's leave them at home and they'll watch online. It's disengaged. But at Christmas, we can have 1,400 in the place. At Christmas Eve, we had probably about that, with the choir and et cetera in, we were probably at about 1,400 people here, which is awesome, isn't it? Like, it's pretty cool. Praise God, we went to two services. We wouldn't have fit. But in that moment, why can we have 1,400 or beyond on Christmas Eve and not throughout the rest of the year? Because on that time of the year, we say, I'm engaging. I'm leaning in. I'm going to make it a priority to be here. On the rest of the year, what we do is we realign our priorities and we disengage. And we said, I have so many other things that I need to do, and God can wait for me. And like, Pastor, that's pretty hard for the, like, right after Christmas. But it's the truth. It's the journey that we all face. There's other pressing things. We're back to the rat race. We're back to running all over the place. Let's not return the gift of refocused priorities. Number three, the gift of hope and peace to all. Don't trade in His peace and His promises at the first sign of trouble or turmoil. So if in this coming year, all of a sudden you get a bad diagnosis, things start to break, remember His promises. Live in the peace of His promises. Don't throw those out at the first sign of trouble. Instead, plant your feet on the firm foundation that Elijah sang about and says, Christ is my firm foundation. If He gave up the riches of heaven to come and to be with me, if He lived and He loved on this earth, dying on a cross, and if the grave couldn't hold Him, no matter what I'm up against, I'm going to believe His promises that I'm the head, not the tail, that He's for me, not against me, and that with Him, He's always with me, and we will prevail because He will be victorious now and forevermore. That's what we stand on. You don't have to return and exchange that, because He is not. He is returning. He is Christ victorious. That is the promise now and forevermore. That's what we can stand on. That's what it needs to look like all throughout the year, because that will be what makes us a peculiar people. Not a 100-pound Bible walking through, not in how we dress our clothes. It's okay to have some sneakers and still be a pastor. In all those moments, what will make you a peculiar person is that you will be filled with hope, joy, peace, and love. 365 days a year, no matter if it's up or down, you will say, my God has not changed, and I'm standing on His foundation. Don't return or exchange that. A world filled with chaos, discouragement, fear, anxiety is looking for the sons and daughters of Christ who will stand firm in the midst of the chaos, who will acknowledge that sometimes life sucks, sometimes life is hard, but that we stand firm on the truth that our God is always good, our God is more than able, and that our God is with us. It changes how we present ourselves. It changes how we show the goodness of the gospel. It also is the gift of His love and salvation. Don't return His love for something momentarily gratifying. Don't give it up. He paid a price for you and for me. Don't give it up. Don't sell it short. Live in it. Let's not return any of these gifts, but instead cherish them, use them, and revere what He's done. For you and my life, as my life especially, we need to rip off the tags and live fully in the new life that His indescribable gift has made a way for. Let's stop living like we're living with the tag still on. Do you know when you live with the tag still on, you're scared to live? If you're worried about, am I going to be able to return this, you don't want them to get dirty. You don't want to spill anything on them. You don't want to have any fun because you don't want to pay for it. You want to return it and exchange it for something better. But you know what happens once you rip the tags off? You're like, I got it now. I'm in it. So you actually don't mind about getting a little bit dirty. You don't mind about going and getting in the mud and working with somebody. You don't mind about actually having fun and breaking bread and getting down with the kids and playing. You don't mind about actually sitting there saying, how can I make a difference in this community and the communities beyond this to the ends of the earth? In our lives, church, imagine what would happen if we sat there and said, I'm all in. I'm all in for the things of the kingdom. I'm ripping off the old tags of fear. I'm ripping off all the old things that held me back, but I'm going to run forward with him. I'm going to believe that 2026 is going to be the year that I get to walk in the freedom that he so freely paid for, that he made a way through the cross for. Imagine what your life and your family, our community, and our church would look like if we lived the life with the tags off. We'd actually have fun. Because we're like, I'm in. I know what God's done. We won't live with the weight and the burden. What did Isaiah said? Isaiah said, the prophet, he said, I came to actually take off that weight, to break the rod and the weight that was upon you, the burden that was upon you, that actually the darkness that was around and the darkness that pervades, the light would shine, the rod would be broken, and freedom would come to our lives. We're called to live in that freedom, not return to our old ways. So how do we end the exchange game as we get to our final truth this morning? How do we practically do that? Because I don't know about you, but I want to live with the tags off. If you want, say to your neighbor, say, neighbor, it's time to rip the tags off. And then say your other neighbor, say, neighbor, he's wanting to do it right now. Not on, like, if you got another tag, don't rip that off. So how do we do this in a practical way? First one, turn down the volume. Don't listen to the noise. I've got friends who are in marketing, friends who do this for a living. The fact is around this time of year, you know what they're actually doing? They're turning up the noise, turning up the volume of saying, you will not be happy unless you have this. You need more. And I know you might have this, but you're even cooler and you're better and you have a better status if you have that. Turn down the noise. Turn down the volumes for our lives. Don't let the noise or others convince you to devalue or return God's gift for your life. The enemy of your soul and others unknowingly are going to try to persuade you to say, you know what, that's not real. The hope, the joy, the peace that you found, that's not real. Sometimes the circumstances of your life are going to shout so loudly and say, God is not good, God is not with you, God is not for you. I want to challenge you today to turn down the volume. Turn down the volumes of others who are playing the exchange game, and you know in their life that that exchange game in their life is on point. They're really good at it. Don't make them the loudest voice in your ear. Don't make the enemy of your soul and the lies that he speaks, like he spoke to Adam and to Eve, be the loudest voice in your ear. Instead, get into the Word of God and let that truth begin to speak. That even in the toughest of season, you know, no, I'm the head, not the tail. That he will never leave me nor forsake me. That I will prevail. That even in the toughest of seasons, he is working all of this out for his good. That God has a good plan for my life. Even in the season where it feels like I'm walking through hell, in those moments that is not my final destination, I'm going to keep on going. Stand on those truths and turn down the volumes. As one person once said, our lives will always follow the direction of the loudest voice in your life. Who's the loudest voice in your life? That's a good answer. It's a good answer. Because it's true. If him, the Spirit, Word of God, is the loudest voice, he's going to lead you. He's going to direct your paths. If someone else or something else is the loudest voice, it's going to take you away back into the return and exchange game. So this week and in the weeks to come, get into the Word of God. Dive in. Make it a priority. Start the, you know, read the book in a year. Get on an app. Get the hard copy out. Find a friend and say, we're going to read together, even if it's a few verses. Let his voice become the loudest voice. Number two, take the tags off. You're like, well, Pastor, you already said this, but we have a problem with this. Take the tags off. It is so much easier to return something with the tags or a gift receipt, is it not? Even in the practical, the first question that the customer service says, do you have the receipt and do you have the tags still on it? If you say yes, they're like, okay. If you're like, well, I don't have any tags and I don't have a receipt, they're like, I'm sorry. And they're like, have you worn it before? Well, no, but sir, why is there like a spill over here? Why is it all frayed over there? If you take the tags off, it's harder to return it. Start to use it. The tags are left on something that you're not using. If you're walking in His peace, if you're walking in His hope, if you're living in His love, if you're displaying it and you take those tags off in your life, if you're caring for your neighbor, caring for the poor, the widow, the persecuted, you're actually getting your hands and your feet a little bit dirty like Christ did. You don't have to worry about taking the tags off because they're not going to return it and you're not going to return it because in that moment you're actually using the gift. Some of us have been given irrevocable gifts. God has given gifts upon your life. Start to use them. Rip the tags off and get involved. Get invested. He's asking of that. He's given you gifts so that we could use, not that we would return. So this season, get in motion. Don't let apathy set in. Don't stop doing or valuing what He's brought you. Last but not least, stay connected. You might be saying, Pastor, what's staying connected going to do? It's so much harder to give back a gift when you're close to the person. And some are laughing because you've been there. You understand. You get that sweater and you're like, oh, this does not look good on me. And someone else says like, oh, but it's so perfect. It's the greatest color. And you're like, the only thing this is going to be, and you love the gift. You value the person. But you're like, next year for the ugly Christmas sweater, this one's number one. And you're sitting there thinking, like, if I could only return it because I don't want to wear it. But that loved one, when they're close to you and you're going to see them every day and they're going to be around, guess what you do with that gift most of the time? You wear it. You put it on because it matters to them. And it's like for Christmas dinner. Maybe it was from one of your parents. So I had a few of those. Remember that one outfit? I still do. Jen has pictures. I'll give you a fun little picture. At one time, it was a gift that could not be exchanged. It was one of those last-minute door crasher deals that was bought for me. And you never imagine this, but at one time your pastor had hair. It was actually dyed blonde, spiky all over the place. Who would have thought? But in that moment, someone bought me a black turtleneck, red cargo pants, and a red vest. Plug that in with blonde hair. And the thing was, separately, it didn't look too bad. Together, didn't look too good. But in those moments, I knew it was from someone that did it with the right intention because they were all brand names. It was like Columbia this, Columbia that. It was all these different names. And I'm like, wow, this would have cost a pretty penny. I found out after there was no returns or exchanges. But in that moment, because it was someone that was connected and close, for Christmas supper, I rocked the red pants, black turtleneck, and the red vest. Because when you're connected, it matters. It's harder to go and say, I'm just going to bring it back. If you stay connected to God, to connected to one another, connected to the family, connected to the body, in those moments where you want to return the gifts or you're not sure about it, or when tough times are tough, when you're going through trials and temptations and tribulations, if you stay connected, it's harder to run away. It's harder to give that back. It's harder to say, I don't need this. It's harder to say, I don't know if God's with me, because in those moments, you're connected to Him and you're connected to others, and they say, no, come on, you know better, let's go. So this year, as we walk into 2026, stay connected. Get in His Word. Get in prayer. Stay connected in small groups. Stay connected in the church family. Don't return or exchange the gift, the new priorities, the hope, the peace, the love, the joy. For some, the salvation that comes through the gift of Christ. Don't return it, because His gifts are good, because all good gifts come from the Father. And He's wanting to pour those gifts out on you and to me. How many are ready to say, I'm done with the exchange game? If you are, if you would, stand with me as we pray. Dear Lord, we thank You so much. Father, we thank You so much for the gift of Your Son. Jesus, we thank you for coming. We thank you for living and showing us how to live and how to love. We thank you for your greatest gift, the gift of your life on the cross. That was the perfect sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice for us. That while we least deserved it, you came and you made a way so that we could walk in freedom. We truly could behold and embrace peace, love, joy, and hope. So Lord, help us today, from the youngest to the oldest in this place or online, to choose intentionally to say, I'm not going to return that gift. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to walk in it. I'm ripping the tags off, and I'm going to fully live in the new life and the new nature that you have made a way for. Help us, Holy Spirit, as we walk into a new year, that we would walk with freedom, that we would walk with joy, that we would walk with peace and hope in all circumstances, that no matter if it's easy or if it's hard, we will know that you are with us and that you are for us. Holy Spirit, empower us as we leave here today, that we would display those gifts, the gifts that we've received, we would display those gifts to those around us, to our neighbors, to our colleagues, to our friends, to even to our enemies, Lord. That when they would see us, they would see your love and they would see you. Be with us, God, as we go. We ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. And we said together, church, amen, amen, amen. Be blessed. Have an amazing new year and looking forward to seeing you next year and next week. So be blessed.